am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Good afternoon, everybody. It used to be that it's afternoon. I'm not sure why. It's always at noon, so my time or Pacific time. I want to welcome you to Purpose Talk Radio on this wonderful day in June, June 17th of 2013. How the time is flying. This is Purpose Talk Radio, and I'm Jan Revelle, your host. Today I have two guests with me, and I'm going to let Maureen give her own name because I'm going to slaughter it, I just know, so I won't embarrass myself completely. So Maureen is one of our guests, and Deborah Roth is the other guest. These are two really amazing women who are contemporary women spiritual leaders. This is this 13-week series. This is week two of Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers, and these two women are trailblazers for sure in the spiritual world. There are 26 women in this series, and so we have a 13-week series going on. It's going to break up right in the middle of July 1st when we have Sue Freeman, who is the facilitator of our show, and she has created a new day. It's a global new world holiday called Positive News Day. And everybody's going to be invited to go over to her website at positivenewsday.com and post some good news, particularly on July 1st. So make sure you check her out. Our theme song is I Am Who I Am by True Trinity. True Trinity is made up of Cindy Freeman. See, she's a musician, multi-talented woman, and of Jillian Clark and Rachel Martinez. And you can find them at TrueTrinity.com. When you want to connect with me, you can do that on PurposeTalkRadio.com. My address, my email is Jan@PurposeTalkRadio.com. Pretty easy, don't you think? I want to remind everybody to go to Facebook and join the Facebook group. It's called Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, where conversations take place before, during, and after each show, and all through the week as well. There you can join in those conversations and just have a great time with everybody. Chat everyone up. Cindy's having some internet issues today, so for our listeners who are part of the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, I would ask that you get in there and start posting on her behalf. And as soon as she can, if she can get internet connection again, she will, and she'll jump in again. So we have today a lot of ums this morning. Sorry about that. Today we have two cards, two oracle cards for the show. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but it did. The interesting thing is they both have a lot of blue in them. So the first card is called To Meet with Another. To Meet with Another shows a young man and a young woman. She's got her head leaning against his chest, and he has his head leaning against her head. Both of them are looking inward. They're looking at their own feelings, their own thoughts, where they are, not only in this relationship, but with themselves and with the world. In front of them is this amazing moth. I'll have to look it up. It's obviously a night moth, obviously, but it's got multicolored wings. There's blue in the wings as well as other designs. There are white feathers on this moth on the head and coming back from the head with these very brilliant eyes. So the indication here is that this is nighttime and it could be dream time. Whatever time it is still a time when they are not. These man and this woman are not really focused on a conscious level. They're not in control. They are dealing more in the realm of spirit, where messages can come through, where they can get information, and they can get insights into themselves, into the world, and into their relationship. This is true of each of us. And especially at nighttime or when we're in a visualization time where we can relax, let go of the conscious control, and look inward, allow messages to come through, allow our information, the information that we have within us and from spirit, to connect with us for ourselves, for our world, and for our relationships. And not letting relationship issues get in the way of that. In this particular instance, they are surrounded in a circle of the information from spirit. So all of us are surrounded by that same spirit, that same circle of insight and spirit. The other card is another circular card. It's called the Blue Calyx, so more blue in it. This shows a young woman who probably is a fairy type woman, and she has a flowing blue gown on. She is essentially in the middle of this amazing flower. It's a blue flower, and she's touching the little calyces, the little petals inside the flower, so the Blue Calyx. This is another one that says, get out of your conscious mind and go into the mind of spirit. Go into the realm of spirit, that one that's inside and that goes deep. When you're dealing with the calyces of a flower, you're going deep into the flower, going into that secret place, into the place that where conscious mind and control have no place to be. This is the place of spirit, of intuition, of insight. And this is where you will also find your insight and your intuition and your messages from spirit. So go deep within. Just relax. Let's do a quick visualization here, because both of these cards lead in that direction. So I'd ask you to just relax wherever you are and take a couple of deep breaths. Breathe in the wonderful air on the through your mouth, or through your nose, I'm sorry, and breathe out all of your tensions through your mouth. So breathe in relaxation and healing, and breathe out tension and stress. And one more time, breathe in healing and relaxation, and as you breathe out, let all the tension go from you, and just relax. And bring your attention to your breathing. Nothing else is important. Everything else can wait until this moment is over. Just focus on your breathing. Breathing in and breathing out. And allow yourself to connect with the innermost part of yourself. That may be in your solar plexus. It may be in your pelvis. It may be in your heart. It may be that place in your forehead, that room behind your forehead. Wherever it is, allow yourself to just be there for a moment. Allow yourself to feel the love and the relaxation when you're in that place. The love of spirit, the love of yourself. Just allow yourself to feel that and feel all tension drain away. Just allow yourself to relax. And on the count of three, there's going to be an insight or a message come your way. Just relax. Stay totally relaxed. And allow it to happen. One. Two. Three. Allow yourself to recognize that insight, that intuition, that message from spirit. And if you have a place to write it down, open your eyes and write it down. If you have to open a document on your computer to write it down, go ahead and do that. And then come back to this place, to this now, to this show. And those are the oracle cards for today. Just so you know, all our listeners know, I've drawn three extra cards today. So if you would like a reading, you can call in following the interview. The number is 347-205-9074. Following the interviews, we'll do some oracle card readings if you desire to do that. Okay, now I'm going to check with Maureen and with Deborah and see if either one of them have some insight into the cards that we just drew. Maureen, Deborah, you are on the air. Would you like to say something about what we just did?
Sure, Jan. This is Maureen. And I will say my full name. It's Maureen Pua'ena O'Shaughnessy, which is the middle name is a Hawaiian name. And it's actually a very personal story. Is I had an experience a couple of weeks ago where I kept seeing hawks everywhere. And from my perspective, hawks are often messengers. And I wasn't quite sure what the message was or why I was seeing all these hawks. And I was at this lovely restaurant with a friend. I was in Canada at the time, near Niagara Falls. And all of a sudden, this big, beautiful hawk lands on a tree right outside the window. We're talking yards in front of our eyes. And proceeds to rip apart a baby bird and eat it for lunch. And I had very, it was a little shocking, it was a little intense. I'm like, whoa. And could not figure out, okay, what's the message here? It felt a little dramatic. And a couple days later, I was actually doing an intuitive session for my friend, and she asked, what was the message of the hawk? And the message was for me, and it was that someone I was involved with in an organization that I belonged to, I was told to beware that he was a predator. And I needed the dramatic message because it was on the surface, there was absolutely no visible evidence to be wary of this person, and yet I kept having these uncomfortable feelings. I would get an email from him and something wouldn't be right, and yet every time I spoke with him, saw him in person, everything was very warm, smooth, and easy. And so it was just a reminder that even when things are not visible in any rational, logical way, I really still need to pay attention to those messages that come that are just the feelings. So that was what it spoke to me, was to remind me to pay attention to that.
Well, and that's really neat because it was a time when you were focusing on something different.
Yeah,
so the message
exactly.
was, so you were available for the message. Whereas a lot of times when we get so involved with trying to figure things out and in our conscious minds that we're not available for the message to come through. And it takes something really dramatic like that or a nightmare in order to get our attention and say, hey, message coming through.
Great.
That's great.
Thank you.
So, Deborah, I'm not sure if you wanted to jump in here or not, but I'd invite you to introduce yourself in any case.
Thank you. Well, I'm smiling because my immediate connection to the man and woman card was a purely in real life response, not quite as magical as yours was, Maureen. My older son Ben just proposed to his wonderful girlfriend this weekend. So I've been in that place and I could envision them as you were describing the card. He's very tall and she's much shorter. Literally, you know, with him resting his chin on her head and her head on his chest, and just how, because I've just been in this space in the last couple days of feeling like not only are they shifting into this wonderful next phase of their relationship, but so are we as a family. I have two boys, so she'll be the first girl in my immediate family. So that was my just very sweetly mundane thing
that's
that came
neat.
Up from that card, yeah.
Well, that's going to be a real difference in atmosphere within the family to have a daughter-in-law come in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're very excited.
Oh, that's great. Well, Deborah, seeing as how I've got you going here, How about if we go ahead and start, and I will ask you first to tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background, where you come from, and what your passion is and how you discovered it.
Well, that could take a very long time, so I will really do my best to give you the Reader's Digest version. I love hearing people's stories, and I love telling mine, but I definitely love hearing people's, other people's too. So you know I have two sons, the 30-year-old, the ones that just got engaged, and our younger one is 26. We, and my husband of 32 years, we all live in New York City. And I came here right out of college, 35 years ago, and have been here ever since, and have managed to find lots of magic, and have definitely found the goddess to be afoot here, believe it or not, in ways that always continue to delight me. And what I do now, certainly when I moved here, you know, at 22, could never have imagined. I started out in the corporate world for the first 13 years of my work, and worked for Union Mutual Insurance, and worked for TIA Cref, and then worked for a little employee benefit consulting firm. And then in 1990, when our boys were little, I left that. I wanted to find something that would give me more flexibility. And my husband had started a business creating personalized, back in the days when there were cassette tapes, personalized cassette tapes for kids. And helped him with that, which was wonderful because I love to sing. And in fact, my count of three message from Spirit, Jan, when you were leading us, was sing for joy. I thought, oh, I love
awesome.
That.
Isn't yeah,
nice? especially in the joyful, light filled week of the summer solstice. So, in 1990, I started working with him in this business that he had developed, and was very clear that it was not my calling. As much as I enjoyed it, and I loved the flexibility to be with the boys who were little, you know, grade school age at that point, I knew it wasn't mine. And in 1992. Just serendipitously, I had my first tarot reading. Actually went with a friend, a therapist friend, who had a wonderful reading. Went to my first women's circle, which was actually through stepping into a Unitarian Universalist church for the first time. And the minister at that point was a lover of the goddess. And for me, I say that was such a pivotal moment for me spiritually, because I felt like, oh my gosh, that's what's been missing. I grew up Presbyterian in a very open household, but it was there was just and to this day, I mean, that's really where my spirit lies, is with this honoring of the divine feminine within ourselves, in the world. And from that moment, just started devouring everything I could find on the divine feminine, a tarot, astrology. In the midst of it all, rediscovered Jung. I'm not sure where he was when I was a psych major, but...
Really? You'd think he was an integral part of psych major.
Well, except I went to a college that was, you know, psych, and I was a psych major and education major, but the psychology department there was very much more about the rats and mazes, you know, sort of experimental psychology. So,
yeah.
And ironically, it was Mount Holyoke College, which is a woman's college, so I often feel like that helped to really ground me in the love of the divine feminine, too. So really from that moment, just started reading everything I could find in all of those areas, and ended up getting my master's through Lesley University, now university, it was college then, in Boston, which ironically I had applied to when I was graduating college at that point, whatever that was, 15 years before, for a master's in special ed. So now I was back there doing a really wonderful independent study master's program, which they still have. They call it something slightly different, but I would recommend it to anyone who really has a love that they are consumed by And it was this fabulous way to really dive into all of this wonderful spiritual, magical, ritual-related stuff that I was doing and get credit for it and come out with a master's. So my master's thesis was on the power of transformative ritual, particularly women's ritual. It was the title of it, and it was the first workshop I ever gave in the area, in this area, was, let's see if I can remember the name, Weaving a Path to Wholeness Through Women's Ritual and the Four Elements. And that, through my master's program, I started leading women's spirituality circles, which I still do to this day on the new moon. And I also lead a full moon telemeditation, 15 minutes each month on the phone. And just it's evolved. Certainly the women's spirituality piece was a foundation from the very beginning. But then as I was finishing my master's thesis and trying to figure out what I was going to do with all of this, one of the directors of a counseling training program that I was in, it was actually a counseling training program for astrologers that was taught all by therapists, which was very cool.
Wow.
And she handed me an article about coaching, and that was another one of those, oh, wow, I guess that's what I've been doing. You know, that's why I didn't become a therapist. That's why that didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. So I was trained at Coach University, and one of the early, one of the first 400 people that were trained there. And so that, it's all woven together so that today I coach primarily women. I like to say I coach overwhelmed, under-nurtured women and a few good men around life and career transitions, relationship, and I also was certified through the Relationship Coaching Institute for both singles and couples. And then the ritual piece. I was ordained with all of my background and my research and study around ritual in my master's program. I figured, what's the coolest life ritual there is? And it's a wedding. So I was ordained through a little ministry called the Sanctuary of the Beloved, and have done probably about 300 weddings since then, and just love that. And in addition to that, do other life passage rituals and ceremonies with people, baby blessings, and home blessings, not as often, but mostly weddings and baby blessings. So it's just sort of been this really wonderful tapestry of all the things that I love most to do and that I continue to do today.
Well, let me ask you a question. There's been a lot of conversation in recent months, couple of years, about the divine feminine. And I've had several men who have asked me if men are excluded from that.
Not at all.
Would you address that a little?
Yeah. Well, you're immersed in this too, so completely too, aren't you, Jan? I'm sure you hear it a lot.
Yes.
I think the return of, and I say return because she's really owing to the fact that we're still a fairly patriarchal society, culturally, really all over the world we are. We're coming back, but with the return of the divine feminine, I think it brings a really necessary balance to what have been traditional masculine or yang qualities that have gone to the extreme. And bringing in the welcoming back divinely feminine qualities like honoring our intuition, expressing our emotions freely, reconnecting with our bodies, I think is, such a huge thing that our culture has done, you know, really since the Cartesian split between mind and body. And then connecting to nature. I mean, I tend to think of all of those and really found that to be a common theme when I was researching women's feminist spirituality and feminist theologians in particular. Those four areas, which we all, whether you're male or female, to reconnect with nature, to reconnect with our bodies, and in some ways, the connecting with our emotions and our intuition, the other two pieces of it, I think, not that I want to qualify it in quite that way, but it's almost more important for men because they are so not socialized that way. They're not, you know, at least we as women, hormonally, chemically with our estrogen and our oxytocin and, you know, the mothering hormones that we come by naturally, men have been really given the short end of the deal. And I think just an opening up of the notion that the face of the divine, whether you anthropomorphize it out there somewhere, you know, as a being, or whether you internalize it as a way to balance your own active, receptive, yin yang, you know, whatever you want to label it, but as a way to balance your own inner dance, you know, those, it's so beautifully, I think, personified by that oracle card you picked, Jan, you know, that the coming mm-hmm. together, the meeting of the masculine and the feminine in a deeply powerful inward way.
Well, I did have someone ask me recently or comment to me recently that he was concerned thinking that or observing by some of the women who are working in the divine feminine, particularly online, some of the stuff he'd seen online, that it was, the pendulum was swinging to the other extreme, and there was a concern there about balance. Do you see that happening, or
well,
is there a way we can avoid that extreme swing?
It's interesting. I do think that it's really important for women to have women-only space and for men
right.
to have men-only space, and for there to be space in between where they both meet. So I think there will always be, just as there were, you know, now a lot of them have been, you know, legally set aside, but, you know, there have been men-only clubs in kind of the worst example. But I know, and I actually, it's interesting, in a networking group when I put out a notice several, I don't know, maybe a year ago, about a woman's program that I was that I was inviting people to. And a lawyer wrote back who was in the group and said, well, isn't that discriminatory? I thought, no, actually, it's important for us to have that separate time. I don't think that there will be, because it's not the feminine way, I don't think there will be this monstrous shift to a matriarchy, because that's not what the divine feminine is about. It's not about carving out a piece of the patriarchal pie. It's not about putting men down. I mean, I always say to my husband, you know, and who's a wonderful mix of masculine and feminine. He has been for the last 15 years, made his living as an intuitive healer and counselor. So he kind of lives in that space. But I always say to, in the beginning, for both of us, when I was really diving in big time into all my goddess work and into the feminist theology stuff, reminding him that I always came back from those evenings not, you know, bashing men and not anti-male, but actually more soft and open to be with him. That mm-hmm. that it shouldn't be a threatening thing. It should be all of us, male or female, part of our path to wholeness, you know, to balance right. not only mind, body, heart, spirit, but the masculine and feminine parts of ourselves, the active, assertive, full steam ahead, and the more inward, receptive, contemplative parts of ourselves.
Right. I know I've formed several girls' night out type things that where
yeah.
once a month we'd get together, and basically it was just have a potluck and sit and enjoy each other's company in a strictly female energy.
Yeah.
And there was
yeah.
never, in all that time, there was never anything about men putting them down or...
Exactly.
In fact,
right.
they mostly didn't even come into the conversation at all. The conversation
yeah.
was about a lot of other things, but it had nothing to do with men or how... You know, judging them or anything about that.
Exactly. Well, and I do actually think that especially men-only groups are particularly important, as I said
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Right.
Jean Shinoda Bolen, I mean, she wasn't the first one, and actually there was just, was it, they didn't name it. I just participated in the TED Global talks, the live streaming last week, which was just amazing. I don't know if you know about the TED talks, but it was just wonderful. And they referenced a study that was done at UCLA, maybe 10 years ago at least, about the different ways that men and women handle stress. And it was determined by the female scientists in this lab. They started looking at, when the lab was in this tough financial place, the men in the lab, the male scientists, their tendency was to kind of hunker down and, you know, get in their offices and close the doors and, full steam ahead, whereas the women would do just the opposite. They would come together and just kind of, schmooze and share ideas and brainstorm. And they, and I suspect you've heard of it by now, but the phrase that they came up with, which is really the opposite of fight or flight, which is a testosterone-driven response, was tend and befriend.
Oh,
and
nice.
Isn't that beautiful? And
it is.
And they talk about in times of stress that women give off, what's the word, they produce oxytocin, which is the mothering hormone, which is the nurturing hormone, the hugging hormone, as they call it. And so we come by it naturally to reach out and be with others. Men don't tend to group like that. And there are, thankfully, I think, some really important organizations that do that. And one of my brothers, I have three brothers, no sisters. I always joke that's one of the reasons I was so happy to find the Divine Feminine. And we've all had boys, except finally we have two little girls in the family. And then my one that's just coming in, who's marrying into the family. But one of my youngest brother and his wife participated 15 years ago, something like that, 15, 18 years ago, in something called the Sterling Foundation or the Sterling Institute, which does weekend workshops for men and that separately and for women, and then you form a men's group and a women's group out of that weekend. They have had their men's group and their women's group since then. So for 18 years, my brother, and I know a few other men who've done this, have met, I think it's once a month, with the same group of men. And it's helped them through marriage difficulties, through family problems. I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, you don't see men as often. Well, actually, my younger son is pretty good at that. You know, it's put together. They call it, Men's Day Wednesday, where a bunch of his friends that went to high school together and some of the middle school together who are now back in the city just go out and for a different place for dinner on Wednesdays.
Right.
But it's not
right.
as common for men to do that.
Right. I have a friend who died 6 months ago, I guess. He was part of a men's group that took place in California, and he would go every year. This was something that each one of them looked forward to intensely. And his wife and daughter recently took his ashes there, and that's where he will be from now on. And men in the group are just delighted. Now they know that when they go to camp each year, they're going to be walking on Rocky.
Oh, how lovely. Wow.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah,
well,
that's great.
I want to bring Maureen into the conversation. So,
yeah.
Maureen, how about if you tell us some of your background, who you are, and your passion, and how you discovered it.
Okay, and I'll try and do as well as Deborah is to keep the story concise. I think, and in fact, speaking of women's things, storytelling is often a very much, not always, but often a women's thing, and we relate to it in many ways. But so my background also started in the corporate world. But I'm going to start a little bit further back than that also is I was born on Vancouver Island in Canada and grew up there. And while I was just in college, actually, or taking a break after my freshman year, I did a trip to Hawaii and arrived in Honolulu and got off the plane and turned to my girlfriend and I said, I'm home. And I hadn't even seen a palm tree yet. We were still in the airport. And fast forward a year later, for a year and a half later, I moved to Hawaii, to Honolulu, with five boxes and went to the University of Hawaii and never looked back. And the reason I bring this little piece up is I discovered, when I look back in retrospect, it was one of those decisions I made in my life that I never pondered. I didn't weigh the pros and cons. I didn't even think about it. It was just a possibility, and I said yes. And the best decisions I've made in my life have been the biggest benchmarks in my life have been the ones where there's a possibility there and I say yes and I don't even think about it. And so then I graduated from the University of Hawaii. I taught preschool for a while, ended up in the corporate world. And somewhere along the line, a friend had introduced me to Reiki. And she had given me a treatment. And Reiki, for those of you who may not be familiar with it, is a form of hands-on energy healing. And so I didn't feel a whole lot, but I felt relief. I felt as if I'd been thirsty and I had a big drink of water, that relief feeling. And so I explored it later on, and I learned Reiki. And just thought it was something interesting to do, and I was desperate to get evidence that it really worked and was real, so I did a lot of Reiki for friends. And fast forward a couple of years, I invited my Reiki master, my teacher, to Honolulu to teach some friends. And I had an unusual experience during that class where the people in the class seemed to be the most amazing people I'd ever met. And they just, I was in awe and actually brought to tears, you know, looking at some of the qualities in these people. And I just was amazed at this group that came together. And then I had that same kind of an experience in an unrelated meeting the following day. And it finally dawned on me, it wasn't the people that were different, but somehow my perception had shifted while I was in this Reiki class. And what I now would look at and describe it as is I was able to just recognize people's essence. I just saw who they were. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was rich and so deeply moving. I decided to step into a year-long apprenticeship to train as a Reiki master because for me it was going to nourish me spiritually. That's what I thought. Well, you know, what happened within that year is I ended up quitting my day job, selling everything, and going through a year of deep, wonderful, not always easy transformation. And so in 1995, I ended up deciding that I wanted to teach Reiki as a full-time passion. And if I couldn't make ends meet, I could always get a real job. And that was 18 years ago. And I haven't got a real job since. So it obviously worked. And what happened was about 7 years ago, I was doing a Reiki treatment for a client who was visiting Hawaii and came for a treatment, found me online. And he was pondering some questions about a business trip as he was on the table and I had my hands on him. And I felt an unusual energy in my body and I thought, oh, that's different. But, you know, I feel different things when I do Reiki. I did eventually learn to feel energy, which I didn't when I first was introduced to Reiki. And anyhow, the next thing I knew, blah, 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 these words were streaming out of my mouth that had absolutely nothing to do with what I was thinking. And it's a very bizarre experience. And at the same time, it was similar to times when I'd had a moment, I might be talking with friends, and I would blurt something out, and I'd sort of go, oh, where did that come from? And many of you and those of you listening, and Jan and Deborah, I'm sure you may have had those kinds of experiences where you blurt something and don't know where it came from. Well, this evolved, and I spent about a year really in the closet testing out what this phenomena was. But it felt right. I knew that the energy I felt while these words were streaming out, and it continued with anyone who was asking questions, when I would go into a relaxed state. So that's what I knew I had to do, is relax as if I was about to begin a Reiki treatment and just sort of step back and get out of the way and let the energy flow, and instead the words would stream. And I was...
Excuse me, Maureen.
Go ahead, Jen.
That's a wonderful description of being able to step out of the way and get into a relaxed step out of the way.
Yeah.
And giving if those I had messages. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, and if I hadn't had the practice and the experience of Reiki, I don't know that I would have been able to do that, because, I was not certainly not trying to be a channel or an access to anything. So then I was in had a group of friends over in my living room one evening about a year after I had this phenomena happen. I'd been testing it out with friends, and so I'd shared with this group. We were just sitting around drinking wine and having a nice evening. And so one of my friends, who tends to be a little bit smart alecky, and she said, well, can you do it in a group? I'm like, I don't know. I've never tried. So I, closed my eyes, relaxed, and sure enough, I felt the energy shift in my body. In fact, it makes me burp, which is very humbling unless I can mute my microphone somewhere. But it happens. And it's not pretty on a recording, let me tell you. So then my friends started asking questions, and the way the words would come through would often say, we see this and we see that. And so my smart aleck friend says, okay, who is this we're talking to? What is your name? What do we call you? And the answer that came through was, it was a pivotal moment for me, in that the answer that came through said, it would be inappropriate to give a name to the source of this information, because then you would consider it separate from yourself.
Oh.
And I just felt this huge openness and this almost relief feeling. And it was like it clicked. Things fell into place. So I was not channeling some being or entity or something else. All it was, is that my intuitive ability that developed when I was in the Reiki energy of a class into being able to connect and see people's essence took it to another level over time, just as it evolved or grew, as things in nature do, to a place where I get to be the voice of what I call someone else's higher self or higher wisdom. And so... This intuitive work I do, I don't describe, in fact, I say it's not a psychic reading because it's not about predictions, and I'm also not a channel or a medium in the classic sense, but I do get to be the connection to someone's higher self or their highest perspective of things. And so that began the unfolding of what is my passion, which is to empower the people I work with into recognizing their own wisdom, their own inner knowing, their own trusting themselves and all of that. And so even the work I do with Reiki is I've taught a couple thousand people Reiki over the years, and the most important part of the class I teach is to do their self-treatment so that they can literally nourish themselves on a spiritual level with their Reiki. And mm-hmm. also in the intuitive sessions I do for clients or groups are all about, knowing that this wisdom is within them and that I just am like a midwife almost. I facilitate it. And that's been my joy. And I love it that I don't have people disempowering themselves coming to me for answers, but rather become empowered. And one of my friends for years, I was doing these sessions for her, and then we talked on the phone. She lives in Michigan. And I said, I haven't done a session for you in ages. She says, yeah, every time I think about calling, I just ask myself, well, what would I hear if I was doing a session with Maureen, and I'd hear the answer so I don't have to ask you anymore. And I love that. I used to love saying in my Reiki classes also, and I still do teach Reiki, that, I love it that I get rid of all my clients. They either get better or they learn to treat themselves.
That's wonderful.
And yeah. And so that seems to be part of my... my passion is to assist people in really finding their own empowerment, finding that their answers are within and that that's where their strengths are.
And, that's great.
I also wanted to add, as you were talking with Deborah about the pendulum swing from to the divine feminine. And a lot of the work that seems to come out in my intuitive sessions and some of the programs I offer people that incorporate that on the phone is the dance between the intellect and the intuition. And so we've been so far out of balance, in my experience anyhow, in terms of valuing and developing our intellectual capacity, is that the intuition, it really, you know, is, I had a client this morning, in fact, that was her struggle, is she's brilliant and very intellectual and has a very sharp, fine, fast-moving mind. And every time she receives some intuitive insight, you know, her mind jumps in and sort of, you know, second guesses it. And
right.
So her dance is all to find that balance between the intellect and the intuition. So that also is a big part of the work I do.
You know, there's a couple of thoughts that came to mind when you were talking about that. One was that we went into this age of reason, which
mm-hmm.
is very much of the intellect. And the intellect and the intuition is, to some extent, how we equate masculine and feminine, I believe.
Yes.
But I've also noticed that, well, I do a body reading technique that was given to me years ago when I was doing massage and Reiki. Well, I still do Reiki, but I don't do massage anymore. But it's called body linguistics, and it's a way of, soul has put into our bodies, physical bodies, the shape of the body, the way we move, it's all, and some of that movement, of course, is learned. It's patterned after our parents. But some of the movement is the way we move because of messages that are given to us by soul, imprinted into our bodies to remind us of lessons that we chose to learn and even how we chose to learn them, to remind us of some of the purpose that we came here to accomplish and even the way we chose to accomplish that. That's a very general, broad spectrum type of an answer. But a lot of people are, if you look at yourself, I'll do a real quickie here. If you look in a mirror, you look at someone else, you see that their right side of their face is more, I want to say developed, but that's, sometimes you'll look at someone and you'll see that one side of the face looks larger than the other side, but very often that side is very smooth and undeveloped. So if you look at the
uh-huh.
side of the face that is really developed, so somebody smiles in that direction perhaps, or their nose points in that direction, whether it's been broken or not, you know, it'll eventually
yeah.
come back to norm. What side of the head does the hair grow on, which never changes? What side is it more thicker and grows faster? Those are things that you can look at. And if somebody is very right-sided, if the right side of their body, their right foot is bigger than the left foot, for instance, that person tends to be very rational and logical. That's an analytical person. One of their lessons and one of their purposes here in life is and intuition. If you
mm-hmm.
find somebody who's mostly on the left side, where their left foot is bigger and, you know, the hair grows more on the left side, et cetera, that person tends to be more intuitive, creative, emotional. And a lot of their lessons are to learn rational, to learn analytical stuff, to learn rationality and logic. And also their lesson in life has to do with relationships to money, to finances, to responsibility. Because the right side of the body is responsibility, obligation, and duty, and the left side is the intuition, the creativity, and the emotion. So whichever side is your quote-unquote weaker or undeveloped side directly relates to lessons you chose to learn and purpose for being here. So when you find somebody like your woman who is struggling with the intellect and the intuition, there are ways, you know, there are games and tricks that they can use to. One of the things I've done with people for intuition is just to have them have somebody else with them and meet, when they meet somebody new, have them shake hands. And when they walk away from that person, to have the other person say, now tell me all about that person. And it's amazing. It's amazing
yeah.
what people do. the first thing that I do in my class is have people pair off with somebody that they've never met before, and they simply sit together with either toes or knees touching. The only thing they know about each other is the name and maybe where they came from, and that they're in this class. And they sit there for 5 minutes and do nothing but look at the other person and write down all of the impressions that they get about this person. And they don't share it with them until the very end of the workshop, the weekend workshop. And 100% of the time, they are 100% right about their observations.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a way to learn to trust your intuition. And I know you have techniques that you use to help people trust their intuition as well. Yeah. So what do you think about this swing? Do you think that it's that we're going to the extreme, or do you think that we're going to be able to achieve a balance?
I think there will be a balance. I think there's a tendency to move towards the extreme with some, and I recognize that I tend to live in my own little reality in many ways, and so, you know, the people that I tend to meet, connect with, and so forth, you know, trust intuition more often and things like that, and then I'll end up somewhere in a place or I talk to an old friend I haven't seen in over 30 years, and we started joking because he called me. You know, I said, "Oh, I'm accused of being the Pollyanna, you know, the real optimist," and he's like, "Well, I consider myself a rational skeptic," and we had really stimulating conversations, but I realized he lives in a very different reality than I do. So I don't know if it's a pendulum swing or whether it will just be more diversity. But I think, as Deborah had also mentioned, the feminine aspects of things are the way the female brain works, you know, with multitasking and is a very inclusive way, whereas the male masculine brain tends to work more in a linear or very intense focused way. And, you know, they've done all sorts of tests and things to look at that. And so my Pollyanna-like assumption is that we won't take the pendulum swing too far. In fact, I think some of the New Age, the criticisms of people who embrace New Age things are that they're kind of ungrounded and airy-fairy and irrational. And as you said, some of them struggle with the relationship with money and some of the other parts, the lessons to learn in life. And a good friend of mine years ago who had just sort of awoken himself to spiritual things, and as he said, why are all of these conscious people that I meet struggling financially? And the, you know, the people I know that are doing fine financially are, you know, not as conscious. And it's still a question. I think that shows up sometimes, but I think that's what's shifting. Is in fact, if we have a chance, I'll share it down the road. Is in one of my group sessions last year, people were asking about 2012 and some changes coming up and so forth. And in one of the group sessions, this whole description of what was described as a new money consciousness came through that fascinated me. I actually transcribed the recording of the group session because it was so amazing and really relationship with money that is abundant focused rather than lack focused.
So it's
going off on another tangent other than just the pendulum of masculine and feminine, but fascinating conversation.
One of our guests next week, Karen Russo, deals with money. She wrote a book called The Money Keys, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So, Deborah, I want to come back to you for a minute because I have a question about, you live in New York City. To me, having never really been to New York City except for once driving through, it surprises me that there is such a strong goddess consciousness and even spiritual consciousness. I think of it as the, you know, the concrete jungle.
Maybe that's all the more reason why we need it here. Because it is such a, you know, very, it's a very masculine energy. You know,
right.
It's the financial capital of the world, and it's, you know, thrives on the rational, you know, as you were saying, Maureen, on the rational left brain, you know, linear approach. Because and yet, it's interesting because I look at the work that my husband does, and he has, I always feel like that there's a barometer, and similarly to Maureen, that there he has tons of businessmen and, you know, linear types that come to him for guidance, you know, as an intuitive. And you know, and they're New Yorkers and they live right outside of New York. It's very East Coasty. And yet it is also a big city. So I think you get more diversity here. I frankly think it would be harder in some ways, even though from a nature standpoint, the divine would, and for me, that's just how it's evolved, the divine feels more tangible and touchable when I'm in nature. And I think that, you know, so many people, when I teach about creating sacred space in your life and at work, or teach about how do you create a transformative ritual, and I'll ask people, take a moment to think about where in your life, what's a sacred space to you? What does that look like? And I would say 90% of the time, people will name some place in nature. And fortunately, I live, we're on the first floor of our building, and I can look across the street. I'm on a service road of Riverside Drive, so it doesn't get a whole lot of traffic. But I see trees and grass after I look past the bars on the window. But I see trees and grass right outside my window. I don't really see the bars anymore, although I make really sure when I do my vlogs each week, my videos, that I don't show the bars on the windows because I think that might freak people out. But Central Park, Riverside Park, I mean, my new moon circles in the summer times, we do outside in Central Park. I have a couple little sacred groves that we've consecrated just because of, you know, through our intentions and through the ritual work there and the sacred work that we do there. So I think it's all about intention. And it's the goddess is alive and magic is afoot in New York City. You just need to know where to find it.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit more about creating sacred space. And you said creating sacred space for transformative living. What does that mean?
Right. That's one of my favorite workshop titles. And in fact, talking about it, doing a 10-minute. This is a real New York experience. A 10-minute talk at this conference where everybody all day long are doing 10-minute talks at a big conference tomorrow in the city. So
ten whole minutes, huh?
Yeah, 10 whole minutes. How's that for laser-like soundbite stuff?
Speed spirituality. Instead of speed dating,
exactly.
You've got speed spirituality.
That's right. The spirit in a moment, or the one moment, the one moment soul, or something. But I think there are several ways to look at it. One is, first of all, to create. And again, I think the key components, probably the three most important things, and this you can do anywhere. You know, you can do it in a traditional office type office, to have the intention to really say, I'm going to create sacred space here. And then in that space, to activate all of your senses. And again, I think that brings us back to the body connection, which we need to be fully present in our bodies in order to feel connected to the earth, to our higher selves, our deepest selves. And there are all kinds of fun ways to activate all your senses. And then the use of symbols and symbolic actions. Really, all ritual is symbolic action. And symbols are the language of the unconscious, which is where all change and all really new growth begins, is in the unconscious. You know, we dream from that place. We can feed it, you know, which we do with visualizations and meditation, but then we also draw wisdom from the unconscious through our intuition, through our dream symbols, that kind of thing. So if you start with that very basic premise and then think about, and if you're doing it in a group, and I suspect Maureen has done this many times, the kind of sacred images, the way to really embody the wisdom of the sacred, it very simply is to create a circle. You know, if you want to move out of the left brain and the linear left brain, be really, literal about it, and create a circle. And really, since ancient times, the circle has been one of the oldest symbols of wholeness and unity that we have. And I often say when we're sitting in circles, when we're, you know, when we've created a sacred space in a group or a women's circle or just any kind of ritual space, that in a circle we all are equal. It's non-hierarchical. Our breath meets in the center. There's a real sense of shared connection when you're in a circle. The other two pieces, which I talk about, the, you know, how you create that in the circle, is bringing, if you can't be outside, which oftentimes we can't, especially if you live in a four-season place, to bring symbols of nature to inside. And this is one of the things that so fascinated me with my master's work, when I saw in Western esoteric science, they talk about the four symbols, fire, water, air, and earth. Eastern has five, which I won't go into, but they are considered the building blocks of nature. So even if it's just as simple as having a shell from your favorite beach to represent water, a beautiful stone from a walk in the woods, a candle, could be a tea light or a votive, and a feather for air, or some kind of incense is... Anything that diffuses into the air is a really wonderful symbol to use for the element of air. So just, and you can, I mean, I've put altars all over the place with just little teeny things. I have a little portable altar that I carry in just a little bag that when I want to evoke my connection to nature, if I'm on an airplane, you know, I can just kind of hold it or touch, you know, make a connection with that in order to feel my connection to the earth and to the healing energy of the earth. And that, of course, invokes all the symbolic stuff I was talking about, too. So the idea is when you're creating sacred space, and I have lots of clients who will, you know, we call it their stealth altar or their, you know, the kind of, see, it's altar in a drawer. And all an altar is creating a center for your sacred space. So even, and for wedding couples that may have a more earth-centered or a spiritual approach that may be different from their parents, they don't want to freak their parents out, will put their altar with things that are meaningful to them underneath the kind of traditional altar table that we might be using. So it's, the idea is to create a very, to be intentional about it, to create a structure about it, a very simple one, to designate it as safe space. You know, if you are going to do something, you know, it's one thing to create sacred space. It's another thing to do something in the sacred space, and that's where we really connect with the power of transformative ritual. Then you want to make the commitment to turn off your phone, to close the door, and you can do it in a, you know, in a regular traditional office, just by either closing the door or closing your eyes and just breathing, you know, for a few minutes, and then make sure. And again, this is a really great one to use for offices. If you don't feel like you can put, like you want to get too, if it feels too woo-woo to put symbols of the four elements, just have really special objects and triggers that are meaningful to you. So that same stone from your walk in the woods or shell from the beach or just a picture of you in some place beautiful. I mean, something that when you look at it, it's immediately evocative of a place or an experience that you had that touched your spirit. And I always remind, and again, this one's a little bit harder to do in a more traditional office, but when I talk about the idea of activating all of your senses in order to, you know, come back to your body, to be fully present, to create transformative ritual or to create sacred space, probably the most evocative of all the senses is the sense of smell, because it's directly connected to our limbic system, which is the seat of all of our memories and of our emotions. So it's, I really get a kick out of, you know, when I'm teaching about this, to ask people, I'll ask each of you, what's the smell that you can identify that immediately brings you back to a place or a person?
I have
I'll
one.
Answer that.
Yeah,
oh,
go ahead,
Jen.
Maureen. No, you go ahead.
Okay. Two things popped in my mind, and one for a person is my hula teacher, my kumu hula, who became like a second mother and was very, very significant in my years from the time I moved to Hawaii. And she used to grow white ginger in her yard. And in Hawaiian, of course, the tropical flowers, the sweetness of the flowers. And I just need a subtle whiff of white ginger, and she's right with me.
That's great. That's a great example.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other one, which is quite different, and I actually use a lot, is when I was first introduced to some essential oils, and I smelt frankincense oil, different than frankincense incense, is I swear there was a ripple of memory of wonderful emotion that came up, that came from, it felt like ancient memory for me. And so I have since then, and this was 15 years ago, I always have frankincense essential oil, and I usually put it on my face when I wash my face in the morning, because then I feel like I've plugged in and connected. And so very different scents, but I use both of them as often as possible. So.
That's great.
That's
oh,
awesome.
I want to hear Jan's, and then I will tell you an amazing story about frankincense how it was a trigger. But I want to hear. Thanks, Maureen. That's cool. What about you, Jan?
Well, one of the things that I teach in my body linguistics class is about smell and how it goes directly to memory and bypasses the computer of the brain. And the difference is in people, in how they respond to it, and I'll tell you mine in just a sec here, but the difference is that a right-sided person, an analytical, rational, logical person, will say, oh, that smell, I remember that, and it reminds me of, it will describe whatever it is, whatever that event was. Whereas an intuitive or emotional person, creative person, will smell something, and they will, it's almost like a flashback. They will be right back in that instance, smelling the smell, feeling the feeling, seeing the people, hearing the voices, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So my memory is a smell of, it's kind of a musty, it comes from, my great-grandparents lived in Dorchester, just outside of Boston. And they lived in an old house that was old at that time. And it had this really musty smell. It was three stories, and there was a string that went from the light bulb way at the top of the third floor ceiling all the way down to almost to the floor when you come into the foyer. And as a little child, I was probably three or so, as a little child, of course, string is just totally attractive. You can hardly keep your hands off of it. So the rule was, you got to pull it once to turn the light on and once to turn the light off. That was it. You couldn't just stand there and keep pulling it. And I remember looking up at that light and being able to do that. But that smell, anytime I smell that smell, it puts me right back into that little foyer hallway with my great-grandparents standing there, knowing also that my aunt lived on the top floor. And I mean, it gets into this whole scenario, you know, this whole big vignette that goes on. But it's just an amazing experience for me, because it does literally throw me back into that experience.
I have that with Pond's hand cream. I don't even know if they make it anymore. But that was my grandmother, and I can put myself in her bedroom at Christmas time when I smell that. But thank you. The frankincense story, Maureen, which you may appreciate. One of my very first women's circles, I burned frankincense oil in an aromatherapy lamp, and we were sharing our spiritual herstories. And so women were talking about how they'd grown up and, you know, where they'd come from spiritually. And as we're making our way around the circle, and it's, you know, we use a talking object so people don't interrupt each other, and, you know, it's one person at a time, and we listen deeply, and we, you know, all that kind of stuff. And one woman, so I had the frankincense oil burning. She said, "This immediately brings me back to my Catholic upbringing and smelling frankincense in the church, and I don't know why. I think it's because it just was so not for me. I would faint in church, and my parents, instead of being sympathetic or helpful, were mortified, and I have such shame attached to that."
Wow.
And yeah, and we're, you know, we're all like, wow, that's quite evocative. So we go halfway around the circle, and another woman looks at the, you know, the first one who said that and said, "Oh my God, I've never heard of that before, because that's exactly what happened to me." And it was,
wow,
such a random, weird story. So I'm really careful about about frankincense now in my women's circles. But that was a real trigger. It's like, oh my gosh. Ooh.
So, Deborah, I had chills up and down my body, which is very fascinating. And I practically had a flashback to the Spanish Inquisition.
Ooh, now you're giving me chills.
Wow. Yes, as you were talking to these two women, there was something then and there that just flashed for me. Now, which is odd, because, again, I have a different reaction to frankincense that is burned as incense, mm-hmm, compared to frankincense that is
an oil, yeah.
An oil, yes, yes.
Wow.
So that just flashed for me as you said that. So,
wow,
yeah.
Interesting. Oof.
Wow.
took us all on that smell tangent, but my point was that's one of the big ways, you know, that along with all the other things I said, the whole activating all the senses is one of the ways that we really powerfully create sacred space.
Well, that's great,
yes,
because I was going to ask you to give us an idea of how to activate the senses. So this was a lovely way to do that. So I want to talk to both of you, and I just heard, Deborah, you might want to interject something there.
Well, the other one that I'm so glad, Maureen, that you brought up the whole left brain, right brain thing, because that's so huge when it comes to talking about balancing masculine, feminine energies and all that. But the other piece, one of the obviously pretty obvious ways to activate the sense of hearing is to play music. Because music is just this automatic right brain activator. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, even just I have a whole, I don't know how many hours it is, but, you know, all my favorite Diva Primal chants and a lot of goddess chants, you know, all kinds of things going really, really quietly in the background all day. That just, you know, every once in a while, if I, you know, I'll come out of the mental space if I'm working on something and then just sort of sing along with it, or, you know, if it's instrumental. I mean, there's a mix, but I think that's also a suggestion that is pretty obvious for activating the sense of, you know, our auditory sense, but to know that is in itself just, you know, brings us right into the right brain.
Yes, which reminds me, interestingly enough, of years ago I was involved, so this is not a negative thing at all, with some personal growth seminars, and they were so very conscious of the evocativeness of music and sound, and they would use it to shift the energy of the group. It would use it to self. They would use it to, you know, it was whatever it was. But it was very purposeful and very, very effective. And I felt a little bit when I first became aware that they were purposely using the music, felt a little manipulated.
Yeah. I'm thinking of one exactly like that too. That's interesting.
Think
about movies. They use music in movies to manipulate people's emotions.
Oh yeah.
And is it manipulation or is it just evoking? You know,
right.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and silence being the same. I mean, I remember years ago, just the effectiveness of silence, it, bringing mm-hmm. you to a spiritual place, but the effectiveness of that in movies. I remember plugging my ears in Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds when somebody's climbing the stairs and it's completely silent. I plugged my ears because the silence was too much. It was too
stressful. Oh, wow. Wow. Jeez. Well,
so fun.
I want to take things in a little different direction for the moment. You are both authors, both written books, and I'd like you to tell us a little bit about each of your books. So, Maureen, why don't we start with you? Because I know you've got an upcoming book as well.
Yes. Yes. Well, actually, it's a reissue of a book. So
okay.
About 10 years ago, a book published that is, it's titled My Naked Journey, A Reiki Master's Quest to Live Authentically. And how it evolved, which is very fascinating, is when I first started teaching Reiki, I thought I should write a newsletter to let people know, stay in touch with potential students or students, and basically let people know, okay, here's the upcoming classes, please come and tell your friends, was the real purpose of it on the some level. And instead of writing stories about Reiki, which is what I thought I would do, and it was not a conscious choice, but I started writing about whatever was sort of up for me that week or that month in terms of the things that I recognized I was adding more stress to my life unnecessarily. In other words, I could be more empowered if I took responsibility for things. So, for example, I would notice that I'm feeling a lack of time all the time. I'm feeling rushed or I'm feeling whatever. So I would write about it and say, this is dumb because I'm in charge of my own schedule and my own life, and why am I generating this stress? And so I joke with my students when I tell them about this book, and I say it really could be subtitled, Dumb Things Maureen Has Done to Add Stress to Her Life. And knows better. But it's, so what happened is, as I was writing these articles, is I would get great feedback from people saying, oh, I could really relate, thank you so much. And my point at each article was to leave it on an up note, is my intention is to give myself more time, you know, so I'm not feeling stressed in traffic or whatever it is, each article. And over the years, people said, oh, I've kept every newsletter, I love your article. So, and this was before blogs, obviously, so it became a book. And as I was compiling the book, a fascinating thing happened is I looked and I kept seeing certain themes and issues over a 7 or 8 year period kept showing up. And my question in my mind was, am I going around in circles and getting nowhere in life that I keep struggling with the same issues? And I finally acknowledged that it was that these were touchstones for me and that my journey was not a linear path, but more of a spiral. And that each time I touched on my experiences or thoughts about lack of time, I had made some progress, but I needed to take it another level and so forth. And so that book, My Naked Journey, has been on Amazon, and it's on my website also. My website, by the way, since I mentioned it, is enjoyinglife.com. That's enjoyinglife.com. And I just this past month, have it reissued as an ebook. So it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as an ebook. So people can download that for a couple dollars kind of thing. And then I also was a contributing author for a Chicken Soup for the Soul book on mastering the law of attraction, and was also a contributing author for a book that was published in January in Hawaii called Messages of Peace, Inspirations from Hawaii. So those are my current books.
Yeah, very nice. And I've also put a link to your Amazon book, your My Naked Journey, on PurposeTalkRadio.com. So if people want to go there, they can also find that book there.
Great.
But then you've got other books as well. So,
yes.
So Deborah, tell us about your books.
All right. My books are... I have two that I've written, and I've been in a couple other anthologies, but the two kind of happened around the same time. One was a co-authored book with two dear friends, also coaches, and we had written together for about 8 years on a wonderful website called Authentic Woman You. And we taught teleclasses and that kind of thing, and we each had different sections, different classrooms in the university that we wrote pieces for. And mine was the Cauldron Cafe, all about women's spirituality. And we took all of our years of writing and created 4 seasonal authentic woman playbooks, discovering your divine feminine. And basically what they are is looking at 13 faces of the divine feminine and taking you through each season with each of those faces with questions to journal about, poems, mandalas, really wonderful mandalas to color for each authentic woman, and you can color her differently depending on what season you're in. So those are available on my website. And then the other, it's an ebook. Both of them are an ebook version. And the other is my book that, after years of having people say, you really need to turn your thesis into something more readable. So that became Circle of One, The Art of Becoming a Self-Centered Woman. And that really looks at the first half of the book looks at all of the kind of theoretical, creates the structure for creating rituals for all parts of our lives, and really is kind of a handbook for women to come back to themselves, to acknowledge all of the life phases that we move through, and how we are uniquely created to move with all the cycles of nature that surround us, because we, of course, ourselves are cyclical creatures. So Circle of One looks at the life cycles of women as defined in women's spirituality and other places. It looks at the cycles of transition, which has been a big part of my work. I teach about life transitions and how to move through them more easily and less painfully, starting with the work of William Bridges, who was kind of one of the granddaddies of life transition work. Those books are out there, and at some point I may. We had a wonderful agent when they first came out, I think in whenever that was, maybe 5-6 years ago, who loved them and pitched them to all kinds of mainstream publishers, and they didn't hit, so we turned them into ebooks. And the Circle of One is on Amazon as an ebook, and then they're both on my website on spiritedliving.com in the book section.
So spiritedliving.com.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get more into both of your contact information in just a minute, but I want to remind the listeners that if you would like to talk to Maureen or Deborah or me, you can call in at 347-205-9074. And if you're outside the country, you're welcome to Skype in to the program, and you can ask questions if you would like. If you're interested in having a reading, I drew 3 extra cards today, and you can call in for that. It will be shortly after the interview that we're done. So let's go now, before we go any further, and have each of you tell us your contact information. So Deborah, you start. Your website, Facebook, email,
yep,
whatever it is, however you want people to contact you.
Great. Okay. My email is Deborah, spelled the long way, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, at Spirited Living. It's spirit with an ED, living.com, and that is my website as well. And then my Facebook page is Spirited Living with Deborah Roth.
Okay. And that's R-O-T-H, Deborah,
yes,
Roth.
Yep.
I just say Deborah because it's many spellings of Deborah. So
you broke up a little.
Oh, sorry.
Say it again.
There's many, many spellings of Deborah. So
yes. This
so
is a biblical spelling.
Okay. Spirited Living with Deborah Ross. Okay.
Is Roth, R-O-T-H.
Roth,
right,
I'm sorry, Roth. Okay, and Maureen, how do we contact you?
The best way to find me is on my website, which is enjoyinglife.com. That's I-N, so enjoyinglife.com. And my email is Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, at enjoyinglife.com. I have not yet got my Facebook page up. I am on Facebook, so if someone searches for Maureen Pua'ena O'Shaughnessy, or my Facebook actual ID is Pua'ena 808. 808 is the area code for Hawaii, so that's used a lot. But the best way to find me is on my website, enjoyinglife.com. And I had also offered a free book to somebody, and I'll actually do an autographed hard copy book. So, Jen, I'll let you figure out who gets any of the callers that come in or however you want to handle it. Is I will actually mail a hard copy to one of the listeners if you like.
Okay. Well, call listeners, you heard that. Call in and and put in your bid for this book from Maureen. And otherwise, we will check on the Purpose Talk. Gosh, I keep forgetting that name. Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page.
Page,
so you
yes.
can, and we can, or the group, and we can go ahead and choose somebody from there.
That's great. That's perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
So now I'm sure there are things that haven't happened so far, and we have some time left. So I'm inviting each of you to tell me, what did I forget? What would you like to bring up? What has come up in the meantime that you want to talk about?
Oh,
whoever
gosh,
jumps in first
question.
Gets it. Yeah, I know.
Well, I actually am going to, bring up a little topic just because it's coming up for me, if you don't mind, Jen. And that is I have a little teleclass that I'm doing on Wednesday. It's a little late for the East Coast because it's geared more to my people in Hawaii and the West Coast. So it's at 8 p.m. Pacific time or 11 p.m. Eastern time. And the teleclass is called Procrastination Can Be Your Friend. And because I get a lot of people who are beating themselves up about procrastination. And so that's a teleclass. It's a free one, so people just have to go on my website. If they go to my website and scroll down a little bit, they can click on a link to sign up and get the contact information for that. But I've had some fun things that have come out of the intuitive sessions, especially the group sessions that I do. Like I'd mentioned earlier, the money, the new money consciousness. In fact, that was the article that was published in the Inspirations and Messages from Peace in Hawaii and the Hawaii book. And another one that came up, and this ties in a little bit with what I had said about decisions that I had made in my life, like moving to Hawaii and choosing to become a Reiki master and following that path in my life. And it's an article that's on my blog also called Split Energy. And, you know, when we think about the masculine and the feminine and all the things we've been talking about, the article talks about how it's we live in a society, and I think of this as being very masculine, where we have to figure it out, get the answers right, or, you know, we won't be happy, we won't be successful, we'll do it wrong. And what I'm seeing, especially in the intuitive work, is that that's not the case, is that we can't make mistakes in life, that life is much more a right brain experience, more like creating an artistic palette where, you know, you get to, you know, the mistakes are sometimes the best part of a painting. And so it's not about following a linear path, but much more of joyfully creating our lives. And so this, an article I wrote on Split Energy is a little bit about that, is to make a choice and choose it 100% instead of wondering if that's really what we want. And I caught myself doing really dumb things, like being at a restaurant with a friend and deciding, do I want the burger or do I want a Cobb salad? And then I decide for the Cobb salad, partly because I think it's healthier, even though it's not necessarily. And then I see someone's burger go by, and I go, oh, I should have ordered the burger. And, you know, we do this in so many different ways, and it's crazy. It's like, just choose it and embrace it 100% and don't look back. And so that sort of had come up with some of the decisions that I've made in my life, the ones that I've made and not or even looked at the pros and cons have been the most fulfilling and the most wonderful decisions I've made in my life. So that was a point I had wanted to expand on and never got to. So thank you.
Awesome. And Deborah, are you doing any classes or workshops or gatherings in the near future that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm in the midst. It's probably people have to move very quickly. I'm in the midst of one of my conscious dating, a 6 week teleseries, which is a very kind of spiritual approach to opening yourself up to attract the one. But that's the second class is tomorrow night on Tuesday night. But coming up, my monthly full moon telemeditation is the next one is next Monday. And so people can go to my website, to the Women's Programs page, has the list of upcoming ones if anybody wants to just join us on the phone for 15 minutes. It's really just a yummy break in the middle of the day.
That sounds awesome. What time is it?
Also on my website. It's at noon Eastern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have on my website, too, and I guess you can find it on YouTube as well, but I vlog just about, because I just decided I'd much rather speak and teach than write, even though I've written books and I'm
oh,
a
I am
writer.
With you.
Oh, that's why I'm loving all this interview stuff. Everything's been on the phone. You haven't asked me to write a whole lot. I'm loving that. So I finally, after having my VA, and all kinds of people say, "Oh, Deb, you should be blogging." So I've been vlogging and I've been loving it. So those are on my website in the blog section and my YouTube channel. I don't even know how it shows up now. And for some reason, I just went to look for it, and it's got one of my different channels up there, which is not my most current one. But if you can see all of them if you go to the blog tab
okay.
on my website. Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. Well, this is a good segue into letting the listeners know and reminding the listeners that Deborah and Maureen are both featured in the upcoming book, Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers, Contemporary Women Spiritual Leaders. And that book is targeted to come out probably closer to September. August, September is the target date right now. And this is going to be a book of 26 interviews with 26 contemporary women spiritual leaders. So it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be an ebook with MP3s that you can download, and we're also looking at creating a soft cover book that will have DVDs of the MP3 interviews. So these are raw interviews. When we say and or whatever, get off on a sidetrack, you get to hear it.
Bloopers and all.
Yeah, bloopers
exactly.
And all. Yeah, that's right. So it's going to be a real fun book to be able to listen to. And, you know, when you sign up for the book and you can download the MP3s whenever you want, listen to the DVD whenever you want, whether you're riding in your car, it's not hypnotic, not going to put you to sleep, or whether you're getting ready for bed and just want to read a good book and listen to a good interview before you go to bed, or any time during the day, it's going to be a really, really wonderful book. All these women are fascinating. So you can find out more about that. Let me see. I guess I haven't put up a website for it just yet. So we're going to just put it on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, and it'll be on purposetalkradio.com for now. And as soon as I get something else set up, then I'll let everybody know. Okay, let's go ahead over your contact information one more time. Deborah, go.
Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, at spiritedliving.com, which, of course, is also the website, spiritedliving.com. And my Facebook page is Spirited Living with Deborah Roth.
All
and
right.
If you tweet, I'm Coach Deb Roth on Twitter.
Coach Deb Roth on Twitter. Good.
Yep.
And Maureen?
So my website is enjoyinglife.com. That's I-N-J-O-Y-I-N-G life.com. And my email is Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, at enjoyinglife.com.
All right. Okay.
And I don't tweet. I've been resistant.
Well, I have
I
a Twitter account,
have a wonderful,
but I haven't done much.
I have some wonderful 20-something goddesses that I shouldn't tell you this, but that tweet
yeah.
for me.
Awesome. Wonderful. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
They
I like your
style. That was one of the prerequisites, that they had to absolutely love to do it, and they have so much fun with it. So.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I will put that in my intentions. Thanks, Deborah.
Definitely. That's the way to do yeah. it, I'm telling you, Maureen.
Yeah. Great.
Oh, great. And Deborah, I wanted to just thank you for mentioning your Circle of One book, because it sounds like something a lot of times when I'm doing my intuitive sessions, I do a lot of one-on-one, or and I do some classes online too, is having a resource for people to go a little bit deeper. And in fact, the subtitle, would you say that again for me, please? Because I wanted to make sure I got it right.
Circle of One, The Art of Becoming a Self-Centered Woman.
Yes. So the self-centered woman is such a brilliant phrase, in my opinion, because
you.
So much of the work that the women I come across, too, are doing is, you know, they put themselves aside. And,
that's right.
And
that's
whether
so
it's,
much of, right. And that, yeah. the book is so much, Maureen, about how and why we do that as women and how we can embrace sacred self-centeredness.
Yes, yes. And so I know it'll be a resource that I will send clients to, because if it comes up in an intuitive session, you know, these things just sort of bubble forth. And so thank you. It'll be a great resource for a lot of my clients, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we don't have any callers right now. But I'm sure there'll be people who will contact us once they listen to the archived show as in addition. So I'd like to say thank you to both of you for joining me on the show today. And before we end up completely, I want to let everybody know that you can contact me at jan@purposetalkradio.com. I want to remind anybody who might be in Sedona or coming to Sedona that on the weekend of June 28th through 30th, there is a body linguistics course. This is part one, a certification course. So you can become a practitioner, a certified practitioner, by taking part one and then part two, which will be at the end of July. So you can go find that at bodylinguistics.org. Remember, that's a .org, not a .com. Bodylinguistics.org. And I want to remind everybody that you can go to TrueTrinity.com and you can find the song, the opening and closing song, I Am Who I Am, with the group True Trinity. There is also where we have some sponsors, and the sponsors are, there's two sponsors. One is a medical advocate, where you can get medical advocacy to help negotiate through the confusing and sometimes dangerous medical world. You can find that at amedicaladvocate.com. And the other sponsor is angelparties.org. This is for if you want to have an angel party online or offline and find out what the angels have to say to you and your group. Go to angelparties.org. So I want to ask you, Deborah and Maureen, I'd like to invite you, I should say, to go over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations when we're done here and perhaps reiterate some of what you were saying during the show. Cindy has asked me to specifically ask you that because she only a few minutes ago was able to get internet access. Usually she's an amazing multitasker and she usually can transcribe all of this stuff just as fast as can be. So we're going to ask you if you'd go over there and maybe add some of the comments and insights that you've shared with us on the show.
Great.
And for our listeners, go to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook and join us in that group. Next week we have Karen Russo for the Money Keys and Kathy Shiren, who is a business coach. Well, she's a life coach too. So you can find more about them on purposetalkradio.com/guests and choose next week's program and you'll be able to see them. And again, I want to thank you, Deborah, and thank you, Maureen. This has been a lovely show, and I just have enjoyed our interactions tremendously. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Me too.
It's
thanks
been fun.
So much.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Then
so, aloha.
I am
thankful.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And we'll see you over in Purpose Talk Radio Conversations.
Great.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
We'll be there.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And to all of our listeners, I want to wish you soul blessings, and we'll see you again next week.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.